In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God
forever. We've been speaking of fear the last couple of weeks, and today I'd like to offer you the fourth installment of my fear trilogy. Today we'll talk about an interesting and yet potentially consuming fear most of us experience at some point in our lives. And that is the fear of oneself, to be afraid of yourself. Now, someone might ask, how can we be afraid of our own self? Well, let's find out. Today in the church, September 4th, we remember the holy prophet Moses. Now, most people remember Moses from his many adventures, the parting of the Red Sea or the receiving of the Ten Commandments. But for our purposes today, let's look at Moses' first encounter with God. As you might remember, the Hebrew people were enslaved in Egypt and had been severely oppressed for some 400 years. Moses was a shepherd at this point in his life when God spoke to him from a burning bush. And he appears to Moses this way, and he calls Moses to lead the Israelites out of slavery from Pharaoh. Now, Moses is reluctant, to say the least. He refuses God's call not once, not twice, but five times. And all five objections reveal fears Moses has about himself. His very first objection to God calling him shows that Moses does not value himself. Moses fears his very identity. Listen to this. He refuses God by saying, he says, "Who am I to go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? Who am I? Who am I?" That's what he says. Now, on the one hand, Moses is the perfect candidate for that. He's Pharaoh's grandson, so he's got an in to the palace, and he knows his way around. I mean, both physically, but he knows his way around politically. He knows what grandpa's like. He's got an in. And because Moses was adopted, he's also an Israelite. He's the perfect candidate in one sense. He's got one foot in each world, Pharaoh's palace and the oppressed Hebrew people. But Moses sees this as a liability, not a strength. And one could argue he's got good reason to. Back when Moses still lived in the palace, he goes out one day mingling with the commoners. And he sees this Egyptian soldier beating a Hebrew slave. So Moses kills the Egyptian with his bare hands. He kills the Egyptian and buries his body in the sand. Next day, Moses is out again. He sees two Hebrew men fighting, and he tries to break up the fight. And one of the men mocks Moses, saying, "Who's this prince coming to judge me? Are you going to kill me too, like you did the Egyptian yesterday?" One foot in each world is not all it's cracked up to be. His own people don't like Moses because he lives in the palace while they do all the work. And Pharaoh, meanwhile, has a warrant out for his grandson's arrest. Moses has a warrant out for his arrest for killing the soldier the previous day. One foot in each world is not all it's cracked up to be. And yet, having one foot in each world is who Moses is. He can't do anything about that. That's his reality. That is his being. And it terrifies him. It terrifies him so much that he runs away into the mountains and becomes a shepherd. He doesn't want anything to do with that life. Now, the thing is, when you are afraid of yourself, afraid of your very identity, you can run away as far as you want, but you can never get away from yourself. No matter where you go, there you are. And this fear is why Moses' first objection to God's calling is, "Who am I to do this? Who am I? I'm just two unmatchable half pieces, and I'm nothing. I'm nothing." His response reveals a fear of his own identity, a fear of himself. And the next four objections Moses gives all stem from his fear of his own identity. His second objection is, "I don't know enough." I don't know enough. I don't even know your name, he says to God. I'm not educated enough. I'm not qualified enough. I would feel like an imposter. Again, it's a fear of himself. Moses' third objection, nobody's going to believe me. I'm not the kind of person people listen to. I'm not the kind of person people trust. I'm not the kind of person people respect. Do you see how all these objections are a devaluation of himself and of his inner identity? His fourth objection was a physical handicap, a recognized ADA disability. Moses has a speech impediment. I think we forget that sometimes when we read his stories and all the times he spoke to me. He has a speech impediment. And we'll get to God's responses in a second, but you can practically feel Moses' fear rising throughout this conversation. And it's not a fear of anything out there. He doesn't say he's afraid of Pharaoh. He doesn't say he's afraid of the work it's going to take. The fear is the result of looking inside. Moses is forced to look inward, and it terrifies him. Finally, in his fifth and final objection, Moses says, Lord, send someone else more capable than me. It's really kind of heartbreaking. It really is. You know, we see the life of Moses in hindsight, after all his incredible and powerful and wise things that he's going to accomplish over the next 40-odd years. But at this stage, Moses is afraid of his own shadow. He's afraid of his own shadow. Is there any fear more tragic than to fear oneself, than to fear your own being, to fear who I am? So what's God saying during all this? At the end, after the five objections, it says God was angry with Moses. And this is important. God was not angry with Moses because Moses was a wrongdoer or evil. God's not angry because Moses is bad. God is angry because Moses is good, but he can't see it. He's angry at Moses because Moses refuses to see the good inside himself that God put there. That's what makes God angry. Moses fails to see his own value and its source, which is God himself. It's like a coach sending in a relief pitcher at the crucial point in a game, and the relief pitcher is terrified to go in. And the coach says, no, you got what it takes. And they argue back and forth. Eventually, the coach is going to get like frustrated and angry. That's the anger that God has. It's like, I see who you are, Moses. You need to see it for yourself. And throughout this whole conversation with each of Moses' objections, God has not been silent. God has a response every time and throughout the conversation. God has said, I am with you. I will lead you. I was with your parents. I was with your grandparents. I was with your great-grandparents. I see you for who you are. I provide for you. I empower you. I will work signs and wonders through your hands. I fashioned you and you are wonderfully made. What you see as a weakness in yourself, I see as an opportunity for my perfection, God says. I give you community. I give you love. You are my child and I am inside your very being. This is what God's been saying. God was not angry with Moses because Moses was bad. God was angry because Moses failed to see that he was indeed very good because God, who is good, is inside of him. When Moses feared himself, it was not only a failure to see his own value, it was a failure to see God, to see the divine that God had put inside of him. I'd like to conclude by reminding each of you that you have a primordial blessing that can never be taken away. Back in Genesis, when God creates human beings, his pronouncement was, "Behold, you are very good." The fear we sometimes feel or sometimes develop of ourselves, the fear of yourself is nothing less than amnesia. It really is amnesia. It's the forgetting of this primordial blessing of who you are and who is inside of you. Which means the cure to this fear is to remember. The cure to this fear is to remember who you are. To remember that what you see as weakness in yourself, God sees as a vessel for his perfection. To remember that you are wonderfully made. And to remember that God himself dwells in your very being. Amen.
Amen.